All life ebbs and flows in a rhythm. Just as there are cycles of rest and activity in the course of each day, so are there cycles of rest and activity in the course of each year. Now in mid-November, it is the beginning of the resting portion of the year. Now is the time to remember that you and I are creatures of earth, no less natural than the coyotes and the lizards, the palm tree and the acacia. It seems to me that we are reaching an historical turning point. For the last 150 years, everything has been getting faster. And with the onset of the internet the last few decades, exponentially so. For many years, speed was doing us more good than harm, but I'm beginning to think that in recent years we've entered a phase of diminishing returns. Our society seems addicted to speed for speed's sake. It has become normal for people to be living their lives in fast forward. You may have heard of speed dating events, where a large group of singles spend 3 minutes each with a series of possible matches, hoping to find in that brief amount of time someone with whom a romance might blossom. And there may be some value in that method, but I do have a hard time seeing the value in other phenomena that have cropped up, like speed yoga and speed meditation and even speed sleeping. My friend just showed me a book called 1 Minute Bedtime Stories. And I thought, really? 1 minute? That's all the time you want to read to your child before she goes to bed. Southern California beach towns have a reputation for having a slower pace of life. But I know that even here, people feel like they are racing through their days, rushing from appointment to appointment, crossing things off the ever-replenishing to-do list. Sometimes, even when our body gives us the message to slow down by catching a cold or the flu, we push through and stay busy. When I was living in Northern California, one of my favorite things to do on my day off was to spend the day soaking in the hot springs at a nearby retreat center. After about 2 hours on the main highway, I would turn onto an unpaved road for the last 5 miles. And just as you turn onto that gravel road, there is a road sign that reads simply, "Time to slow down." There are multiple meanings to the words, of course. Naturally, they want people to drive more slowly on the dusty, bumpy road. But more importantly, it is a reminder that you are now entering a place of retreat. Just the sight of that sign, "Time to slow down," would cause me to take a deep breath and change my thinking. I knew that for the next 5 or 6 hours, I would have nothing at all to do, and I could feel the tension begin to lift from my body. Eastern cultures bring us practices like Tai Chi and yoga and meditation, all of which can help teach Westerners how to be comfortable with quiet and slowness. For many years, I had a regular Bikram yoga practice. Bikram is a strenuous style of yoga done in a heated room, which gives the yogi a complete cardiovascular workout. My heart and lungs would be working at about 80% of maximum for much of the 90-minute class. But I'm certain that the biggest benefit that I received from this practice is from the savasana, the resting that comes between each posture. The teachers all say that savasana, or corpse pose, is one of the simplest poses to do, but the most challenging to master. The goal is to push oneself 100% for the 10 or 20 seconds that you're holding the posture, but then to relax 100% between the poses. The practice of going from total effort to total relaxation has brought the biggest gift to my life outside of the yoga studio. Since I began practicing, I've discovered that I can relax more quickly. I can go from full speed ahead, busy work mode, to relaxation with much more ease than I could just a few years ago. There's recently been a shift in consciousness throughout the world, bringing many slow movements. It all started with the slow food movement, which was a reaction to the fast food restaurants coming into France. Slow food is about a dedication to living an unhurried life, beginning at the table with local, organic, sustainable farming practices and meals prepared and eaten with loved ones. Slow travel is the movement to savor the whole journey rather than look up the sites on tour books or websites. It encourages travelers to take the time to talk to locals and meander through the streets to really get a feel for the place that they're visiting. Then there is slow design, a movement to encourage people to appreciate products that are built of high-quality materials and top-notch craftsmanship and designed to last rather than the cheap, disposable junk that has been flooding our consumer culture for years. Now, slow homes are being designed, which support sustainability and livability, as opposed to those which are meant to impress our guests with their grandeur. And you'll now find resources online for slow gardening, slow parenting, slow art. There's a worldwide movement to put the brakes on and slow down. For the past 20-some-odd years, the ability to multitask has been listed as a prerequisite on job postings in just about every line of work. But we know now that our brains don't actually multitask. They just toggle back and forth between multiple tasks, and ultimately it slows down the overall progress. If we did one thing at a time and then moved on to the next, we'd be much more efficient, less frazzled, and certainly happier. In his book, In Praise of Slow, Carl Honoré recognizes that this idea is starting to become more mainstream. He says the corporate world is starting to realize that too much speed and hurry hurts the bottom line. A senior manager at IBM has even launched a slow email movement, urging people to unplug and make the most of email and life by using email less. The latest neuroscience shows that when people are in a relaxed, mellow state, the brain slips into a deeper, richer, more nuanced mode of thought. Psychologists actually call this slow thinking. Artists have always known that you cannot hurry the act of creation, and increasingly businesses are realizing the same thing, that workers need moments to relax, unplug, to be silent in order to be creative and productive. I know that in my experience, it has always been in my downtime, my do-nothing time, my periods of mindless daydreaming that my most creative ideas arise. When I get so busy that I don't have those times, my focus gets narrow and I'm not able to see the broader picture. Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh said, "If we are too busy, if we are carried away every day by our projects, our uncertainty, our craving, how can we have the time to stop and look deeply into the situation, our own situation, the situation of our beloved ones, the situation of our family and of our community, and the situation of our nation and of other nations?" Slowing down is not necessarily about anti-speed. Once you've lived with high-speed internet, there is no going back. But what I'm suggesting is slowing down judiciously, doing things at the right pace, and appreciating quality over quantity. This approach fosters real and meaningful human connections and being present in the moment. It's about doing things as well as possible rather than as fast as possible. You can still have an exciting, full life, but without feeling rushed. We each have the ability to make choices around how we use our time. Only when you have enough spaciousness in your life can your creativity fully bloom. When we scurry from place to place with no space between our thoughts, we crowd out those fleeting whispers of our intuition. In quiet moments of reflection, we have the opportunity to hear the still, small voice of love. We become more open to hearing the guidance of our own deepest wisdom when we have the time and space to notice. The bottom line is that it matters not just what you do, but the manner in which you live your life. It affects not only yourself, but the people and the community around you. When you're able to live life deeply and wholeheartedly, thriving instead of merely surviving, you carry with you a sense of spaciousness and enjoyment. By your example, you invite other people to also live more intentionally and more joyfully. So I invite you to rest in this very moment, knowing that there is nothing else that you have to do right now. Let's breathe together. And I invite you to look at your hands. Really look at them, see them. See the texture of your skin. Notice the marks, the lines, the scars, all the evidence of your living. Appreciate all that they do for you and for others. Now I invite you to look around at each other here. See all the people that you don't know well. And now make eye contact with somebody and hold it. Relax. Breathe and smile. Look at how much beauty is in their eyes. And thank that person. And now find somebody else with your eyes. Do it again. Breathe together and smile. And bow to the indwelling spark of the holy in that person. Thank them. And one more time. You might have to turn in your seat, I don't know. Find one more person. Make eye contact. Breathe. Smile. It's okay, I'm telling you to do it. You don't have to worry. And then honor and thank that person. Now you might want to, after the service is over, during coffee hour, seek out one or two of those people. You might have made a new friend and you don't know it yet. The rampant speed and rushing and overstimulation in our society begs the question, are we staying busy to avoid something? Are we afraid of what will arise in our awareness if we slow down enough to see what is there? It is true that there is violence and suffering in the world, in our communities, and in our homes, and within our own hearts and minds. We fear it might be painful to experience whatever we find if we look too deeply, so we don't look. But often the fear of what we might find is worse than what is actually there. Avoiding the depths also holds us separate from one another and from love. When we slow down, we are more able to be present to the warmth and connection that we feel with one another. When we share our pain or deeply listen to that of another, we lessen the suffering. Slowing down, we can reach out to one another in compassion and pull one another out of the fog of isolation. Above all, slowness is about being present. It's about being awake in your life so you don't get to the end of it and realize you missed it. How many days have you had where you find yourself laying in bed at night realizing you just rushed through the day, went from appointment to appointment and phone call, did the chores, got everything done, and you realize that you weren't really ever there? You weren't present to the people you interacted with. The thing is, this is your life. And as far as we know, you only get one. And no one knows how long it will last. And now is the only time you actually have. Let us remember to slow down. Let us appreciate quality over quantity. Let us read to the children as long as they will sit still. And let us remember to take a breath, or two, or three, and really see the beauty in one another's eyes. Amen, and blessed be.